Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. You'll see that Jesse's not here. My wife, Mary Danielle, is here from the Bible with the Barbers. And I want to invite you to listen to her show and right after this show every Friday on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Today's show, I mean, I always say we're reporting for duty, sir, if Jesse was here. We are really reporting. We've got some good news where Christians are pushing back the secular culture with the teachings of Christ. And I just think it's awesome to see that. We're also going to give you an update on Father James Altman regarding people supporting him. We had him on Monday. If you hadn't heard the interview, you might want to check our podcast to check that out. And then we're going to talk about President Joe Biden. And believe it or not, are you ready for this? He is supporting abortions more than any other president in the history of the America. And when I tell you how much money he's putting towards the first 4 months to killing unborn babies, it'll make you sick. But I'm also going to talk about the Hyde Amendment, which I think is at risk today. We're going to talk on that. I'm also going to remind everybody what Pope Francis talked about regarding a call for green economics, green education, green spirituality. And I just want to express my concern that maybe we're being too much one with the world when we start talking about all this rather than the salvific work of Jesus Christ. That's just my take as a layman who's been doing this for 42 years. But before we get into all the issues of the day, we have the gospel of today, and I've asked my wife to read the gospel of Mark, chapter 11, 11 to 26, and then give us a teaser, Mary Danielle, because you're going to talk about this after the Terry and Jesse show.
All right. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple area. He looked around at everything, and since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, as he was leaving Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing from a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went out to see if he could find anything on it. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves. It was not the time for figs. And he said to it in reply, "May no one ever eat of your fruit again." And his disciples heard it. They came to Jerusalem, and on entering the temple area, he began to drive out those selling and buying there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. He did not permit anyone to carry anything through the temple area. Then he taught them, saying, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples,' but you have made it a den of thieves?" The chief priests and the scribes came to hear of it, and were seeking a way to put him to death. Yet they feared him, because the whole crowd was astonished at his teaching. When evening came, they went out of the city. Early in the morning, as they were walking along, they saw the fig tree withered to its roots. Mm. Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." Jesus said to him in reply, "Have faith in God. Amen, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it shall be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, all that you ask for in prayer, believe that you will receive it, and it shall be yours. When you stand to pray, forgive anyone against whom you have a grievance, so that your heavenly Father may in turn forgive you your transgressions." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, there's a lot there, Mary.
There's a whole lot.
And what are you going to focus on when we have our show after the Terry and Jesse show? Give us a little teaser, please.
But we want to focus on a couple of aspects of this gospel. Mm-hmm. One, we want to focus on the content, context of this gospel.
Okay.
When did this gospel occur? Okay, what's the surrounding context of it? But also the whole issue of the fig tree, and the priest at the Mass this morning made a very good point. Here Jesus comes to the fig tree, and there's lots of foliage on it. It's beautiful, but there are no fruit. Mm. And he said our faith is like that. St. Bede tells us that Jesus is looking for fruit.
Yeah, not leaves.
And he's not just looking for the foliage. He's looking for the fruit.
Uh-huh.
And so how do we bear fruit? What is this fruit that the Lord is looking for? And then we want to also look at the whole, you know, cleansing of the temple. And what did it mean that Jesus was looking for fruit when it wasn't the season, and that the fig tree dies? And how is that connected with the cleansing of the temple? So we'll dive into all of that.
Awesome. I can't wait. And Mary, stay with us for this segment because Steve Ray's going to be coming for the segment two to also have a conversation. And then, Mary, we'll have you for the Bible with the Barbers right after this show. She'll get you. And I just want to encourage people to consider studying the Bible with Mary each week here on Virgin Most Powerful. You can go back and listen to all the podcasts and learn a lot about our family heirloom and have a biblical worldview. That's what we need, especially today. But let's bring the smartest guy into the room right now. Full sheen ahead, Mary Barber.
There you go.
Yeah. Bishop Sheen hits it because we're going to be talking about the secularization and how we have been secularized even in our church. And this is Bishop Sheen 50 years ago. He says, why are we deluged with books about secularization of Christianity? Mm. He says, because the world cannot see any great difference between the way we act and the way it acts.
Wow.
No one can influence the world who is too identified with the world. Mary Danielle, it took me a while to find that quote for today, but that's really our theme today, and that is not being one with the world. But Jesus said something in the Bible about that, did he not?
Yes, he did. He said, he said the world will hate you.
That's right.
Like it hated me.
Yep.
But have courage, I have overcome the world.
Mm.
You know, Jesus isn't calling us to live a
comfortable
life in this world. And he never promised to remove suffering and challenges and crosses and disappointments.
Yeah.
You know, St. Paul compares our faith to the athletic competition.
Right.
You know, the old ancient Olympics and the Olympics in our day, how much athletes deny themselves to win a perishable crown. And even in our day, even though it's a gold medal or a bronze medal, those are perishable. Those aren't, you know, lasting realities. They're not eternal.
Right.
They're just perishable things. And yet how much people will deny themselves to gain these perishable things? And will we deny ourselves to gain the imperishable? Will we deny ourselves to gain eternal life? Will we even offer our sufferings, you know, in union with Jesus to help redeem the world? God doesn't allow suffering just to punish us for sin.
Yeah.
This suffering came into the world as an intrusion, as St. John Paul II says in his Theology of the Body. You know, sin, suffering, death, those were all intrusions. Shame was an intrusion upon what God had made. Why? A consequence of our sin. God gave us, he created us with integrity so that we knew the true good, God, whom we were supposed to choose, and our will would clearly, you know, follow our intellect and choose God. But then we sinned, we lost integrity, which was a gift above and beyond our nature. It wasn't due to us. It was a gift God gave. And when we sinned, we lost that.
Mary, can I just jump in and say that what Bishop Sheen says, no one can influence the world, is too identified with it. It seems today much of some of the things we read about with the Vatican regarding conferences, bringing pro-abortion people to come and educate us on population control, seems exactly the opposite of what Fulton Sheen is saying. And my question is, who's influencing who? And I see right now in our church, I'm not management, I'm in sales, but we pray last night for 2 hours for the Pope, the bishops, and the priests every Thursday night here at our chapel, because we want our bishops and our priests to give us the salvific teachings of Jesus Christ as the number one priority, because that's what canon law says, that's what the Bible says, that the salvation of souls is number one, not so much the planet. And so I just wanted to take a minute to get your take, because we got about 3 minutes before the break, and that is, in the world now, we have people, Pew Research just showed in April that 55% of all adults who identify as Catholics say that abortion should be legal in all or most cases, and only 43% say it shouldn't. I wanted to ask you to bring up that Jesuit priest that you were referring to me, you know, earlier this morning. What did he say about statistics and reports like that?
Father Art Swain said, the Jesuit, he was from San Francisco, believing Jesuit.
Yeah, that's right.
He said that 100% of Catholics believe what the Catholic Church teaches.
Ah.
You see, when we reject the teachings of the Catholic Church, any teaching, take anyone, when you reject it, you cease to be Catholic.
Yeah.
You know, now you're Protestant. You're protesting against what, and because the Catholic Church has the fullness of the truth that Jesus Christ revealed. And so we accept it all, not because it comes from the church, but because it came from Jesus Christ through the church. So
the very innocent life.
Yeah.
I mean, like Ben Shapiro, and he's not even Catholic, would say, what universe are you living in that you think that parents have a right to kill their own children?
Crazy.
Innocent, defenseless. Mm-hmm. Innocent, defenseless life. And you're willing to kill this child?
Wow.
For convenience, for comfort, for whatever it is that you're looking for. And no, we can't be identified with the world.
Nope.
The world as we know it is passing away, and we are supposed to bring Christ to the world. We're supposed to build his kingdom, and that means that we're supposed to be living images of Christ and his love to the world so that the world will come to Christ. We're not supposed to go. It's like, you know, the Jews in the Old Testament, they were supposed to bring the people to God,
mm-hmm.
all the pagan people to God. And instead, what usually happened is when they got in among the pagan people, they started worshiping the pagan gods.
Yep.
We have the same problem.
Nothing new under the sun, the Bible says. Mary Danielle, you'll be with us on the Bible with the Barbers right after the Terry and Jesse show. You'll get more of that readings from today's gospel and much, much more. So stay with us when we come back. Steve Ray is also going to be joining us. But for the Bible with the Barbers, that'll be at in about 45 minutes. Steve Ray, CatholicConvert.com, is going to join us and talk about the issues of the day and how we can get motivated to stand up for Jesus. And I got some stories that were very inspirational, especially a high school student who stood up for her faith among the secularization. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Actually, it's Terry and Steve Ray is going to be joining me. I don't see him yet. Steve Ray, are you with us, brother?
I'm here.
Oh, God bless you. Steve Ray's here. We're going to be talking about a lot of different topics today. But Steve, I've got a topic that you don't know about. Maybe you do, but in your great state of Michigan, there's a young lady named Elizabeth Turner. She's a high school senior, and she was supposed to be delivering an address to her school by virtue of being the honor, being the senior class valedictorian. But the administrator of the secular high school told her she can't include any reference to God or her Christian faith. So her response was, "For me, my future hope is found in my relationship with Jesus Christ." And she wrote her remarks by saying that by trusting in him and choosing to live a life dedicated to bringing his kingdom glory, I can be confident that I'm living a life with purpose and meaning. She said, my identity is found by what God says. Who I want to become is laid out in Scripture. Well, she got a lot of people behind her, and they wrote to the school, and the principal recanted and said, yes, you can now, because the law says you can do it, but this particular principal didn't want anything to do with Christianity. So here's my question to you. This is a good example of people pushing back a secular culture with their faith. Are you aware of that? And what are your thoughts about that young lady?
I haven't heard about her, but it doesn't surprise me in Michigan here. We're, we have a very liberal governor here who I hope that we get rid of soon, who breaks all of her own rules all mm-hmm. the time. And it doesn't surprise me at all. Gary, I'll tell you, Terry, nothing surprises me anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised it's not worse than it is.
Yeah.
Because our country gave it away 50 years ago. We've already given away our Christianity. We've become a secular, atheistic, materialistic country that's moving towards Marxism.
Well, Steve,
so I'm surprised that it doesn't get worse. I'm amazed that we can still fight and win on some of these cases. But I think it's important that we do.
Absolutely.
Because there's the old saying that all that is necessary for evil to succeed is for a few good people not to do anything.
Well, you mentioned 50 years. 50 years ago, here's what Bishop Sheen said. He said, why are we so deluged with books about the secularization of Christianity? He says, because the world cannot see any great difference between the way we act and the way it acts. And Bishop Sheen said this, Steve, no one can influence the world who is too identified with it.
Yeah, Jesus told us this a long time ago.
Yeah.
This is no surprise.
No, this is biblical.
The early Christians died as martyrs because the Roman Empire didn't accept them and their Christianity
yep.
all through the world. We Christians have been slaughtered because we stand for something that the world doesn't like. The government always wants to be the top dog.
Yep.
They want to be the final authority. But we Christians know that there's somebody who is a final authority above them.
Amen.
And we appeal to the higher authority, and that drives the secular government crazy because they want to be the big brother. They want to be the creator of freedoms and rights. They want to be the final arbiter of everything. And when we go over their head, anytime you go over somebody's head, that person gets upset.
That's right.
And we can always go over their head. That's why the Jews also have been always persecuted, because they always said, we have a book, and our book tells us that you're wrong, government. And when you have a book that the government doesn't like, that gives you a basis to criticize the government,
yeah,
they don't like that, and they're always going to be against us.
Well said, Steve. Before we get on to some other topics, something just crossed my mind. I know you're going to the Middle East. I think you've gone to the Holy Land over a couple hundred times, and we will get to that. I want to make sure I give a good plug for people to contact you about that. But, you know, we just had this past month fighting in Israel and in Palestine. Can you just kind of give us a, I know you can't take hours to discuss it, but
no, I would be happy to.
Give us a little summary. What's going on over there?
It's the same old, Terry. There's nothing new.
Right.
It's cycles.
Yes.
But Americans have short memories.
Yep.
And what happens is when something happens over there, the media makes a big deal out of it,
mm-hmm.
and it hits our newscasters, and the liberal media loves to criticize Israel.
They do.
And they make a big deal. But it happens over and over again. I've been going to Israel now for almost 20 years. I've been there, like you said, almost 200 times. And I've been there when these things are going on. This is just part of life over there.
Wow.
And remember that there,
tell me,
what happened in this case is it was a perfect storm. There was Ramadan, which means that all the people are fasting. It's kind of like a vacation month for the Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Ramadan is fasting all day. So they're a little edgy already. You know, they're not eating. And they all come to Jerusalem to worship at Temple Mount, to pray there. A lot of them are the young people. Then at the same time, you had Jerusalem Day, which is the day in 1967 when when Israel conquered Jerusalem and they took the city over. Mm-hmm. And now every anniversary of that, they grab their Israeli flags and they march around the city. Very provocative, because mm-hmm. they're going right past all the Arab areas. And they're saying, we've got Jerusalem back, you know. Mm-hmm. Thousands of them marching around the city with horses, policemen on horses. Well, you've got all of these people coming to Jerusalem right at the same time. Jerusalem Day is there with the Jews marching around. And then what happened is you heard on the news that what happened there was that Israel was taking over some land from the Palestinian Muslims and giving it to Jews. And the Muslims were protesting that. And that's what sparked the whole thing. Perfect storm. But what really happened was some Muslims were selling their land in northern Jerusalem. A Jew came in and offered twice the amount that anybody else offered. And so the Muslims sold the land to the rich Jewish investor.
Wow.
So that land now is legally belongs to the Jewish investor who bought it.
Of course
it does.
And when
he came to take over his land,
yeah.
all the neighbors protested. You do not sell land to the enemy in Israel. Whether you're a Muslim selling to a Christian or a Christian selling to a Muslim or a Jew buying land, you keep the land in the family.
I see.
And if ever land gets sold, there was one time a Greek Orthodox patriarch sold Orthodox land in Jerusalem to a Jew. And you should have seen the people out trying to get that, the Greek Orthodox people trying to get their own patriarch.
Wow.
They were attacking him because he sold the land to the Muslims or to the Jews.
Hmm.
You don't do that in that land. You keep it in the family. You keep it in there. And so what happened is you had those three things happen in Israel. It's a perfect storm. Then Hamas never misses an opportunity to cause trouble and make fools of themselves. They start shooting rockets over. And then what does Hamas do? They destroy their own kids' possibility of ever being successful. Because the best thing you got, what these people need to realize is that Israel's not going anywhere. Israel's going to be there. They're one of the most powerful militaries in the world. They're not going anywhere. They are determined. The best thing for a Palestinian to do is to learn to live with Israel, not against them.
Right.
If you learn to live with them, Israel has the brains and the money Palestinian areas have the cheap labor and the natural resources. Mm. You put those two together, those people would be the richest in the world. But they hate Israel more than they love their own kids.
Yeah, that's sad.
And that is the truth. Now, I know a lot of Catholics get upset with me for that because they're very pro-Palestinian and anti-Israel. Mm-hmm. But even my Catholic friends who are Palestinian Arabs yes. in Israel support Israel.
Wow. Well, thanks for that clarification. Steve, I want to get your take on a couple other issues. I know that you've been very active all your life, even before you were a Catholic, about standing up for life. President Biden is funneling nearly 20 times as much tax money to the abortion industry as Barack Obama did. And I hope you're sitting down. You are, because Biden's directed almost $500 billion in federal funding to the abortion industry through legislation and his executive actions, and in some cases, bypassing longstanding regulations and restrictions to prevent from making us want to have our tax dollars paying for abortions, not just in America, but worldwide. And it seems to me, Steve Ray, that we need to voice our opinion so strong on this issue, because without life, there's no other issue that matters. So my question to you is, Family Research notes that $704 million of subsidized abortions overseas is what the Biden folks are saying, and that they said that more than $10 billion will be used just to oversee a lobbying favors of abortion. So they're spending this money like it's water to promote abortion in America and throughout the world. And it seems to me, as committed Christians, we have to stand up and say, not on my watch.
Well, we have to understand why they're doing it. First of all, this is their sacrament.
Yeah, there you go.
This is their high and holy sacrament of liberalism and atheism and Marxism.
Yep.
And they're never going to let anybody touch that, because they are, that is their sacrament. They live by that. They will fight for that. And then the Planned Parenthood is like the high priesthood of the sacrament of abortion. And when you've got people in power, and just think, if you don't think that votes count.
Yeah.
Look, what before we were putting it slowly putting an end to abortion, and President Trump was doing a lot to stop abortion.
True.
And now, because of an election, and I don't believe it was an honest election.
I don't either.
We now see a man in there who is being driven like a puppet, I think. I don't think he's making his own decisions, to be honest with you. He's being like a puppet by the liberal left who are behind him. And they are now making decisions to promote their sacrament of abortion. And of course, they're evangelists, aren't they? Yep. They're evangelizing the world with their sacrament and with their money. They're pushing their agenda, their religion of secular humanism. It's become their religion. It is totally diametrically opposed to Catholicism, which is why you and I are becoming a despised subculture. We're not allowed to speak anymore. We're not allowed to speak out. We're ridiculed. We're canceled. But the reason that they're doing this with abortion is because we in America have shifted our philosophical emphasis to one of serving God, who created the heavens and the earth, to serving and putting man at the center of all things. We have a new religion in America.
You nailed
it. It's called secular humanism. Man is the center of all things. Abortion is the main sacrament, and Planned Parenthood is the priesthood.
You got it, Steve. Why don't you really tell me what you think? I just want to also mention that the Hyde Amendment that was placed in since 1976, which prohibits taxpayer funding for the most abortions in Medicare and federal program. Check this out, Steve. There's 2.4 million babies that were not aborted in that time since 1976. Those people are walking around planet Earth because of the Hyde Amendment. And today there's going to be a vote in a Congress with President Biden, who's saying that we need to get rid of that Hyde Amendment. I hope he doesn't get successful on it. But the point I'm making is that this is such a tragedy when we think about it, that we are, as taxpaying Americans, are going to be paying for abortions. I personally think that it's outrageous that we're going to be doing that if they get this thing passed. When we come back, Steve, I want to get your take on Father Jim Altman. This is amazing. Are you ready? Almost $200,000 has been raised by people to support his legal actions regarding having him being removed as a pastor at a parish in the Midwest. We'll be back with more. Stay with us on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Jesse's out of town. Steve Ray's filling in, our good friend. Steve, before I get to this little teaser about Father James Altman, I want everybody to know how people can contact you and get on with trips to the Holy Land or to anywhere in the world you're traveling. Give us a little update on what's going on, please.
My website is CatholicConvert.com. That's the hub for everything. So you want to see the free biblical and apologetic stuff we have, or our pilgrimage is CatholicConvert.com. We've got a lot of trips started up, Terry. We know we were one of the last ones out of Israel last year in 2020. We left on the first week of March, and right when we were leaving, they closed Israel, and it's been closed ever since. We were one of the last ones out. I'm going to be one of the first ones back. In September, we have a trip going. We already have over a bus of people sold out. We're going to have two full buses on that trip. Also, November and December, we have so if you want to go to the Holy Land, it's going to be a great time to go because there's not going to be any crowds. We're going to have the whole country to ourselves. And then we're going to do a St. Paul cruise, going through the Mediterranean on a cruise ship, hitting 10 biblical sites through Greece and Turkey. We're going to Lourdes and Fatima. We're going to start in Portugal, go through Spain and into France, visiting those Marian shrines. We also have, we did a trip to St. Augustine, Florida, where the beginning of the Catholic faith started in the United States. And it was so successful, we're going to do another one in November of this year. And we already set up a new one. So it's really amazing that we, as Catholics, came here and started a town and a parish and had the first parish mass 55 years before the Protestant pilgrims came to Mayflower. This is all new things. So anyway, also we had a trip going to Wisconsin to the big national shrines there, but that's already sold out. We can't take anybody. We have two buses sold out trip. So we got a lot going on. CatholicConvert.com if you want to join us. But boy, they're filling up fast. People are anxious to get back out on the road, Terry. They want to go back out and visit and do our pilgrimages and get out of the lockdown. It's really exciting to see how these things are picking up as we're opening up the country again.
I'm happy to hear that. I noticed that we've got Caesar, who's promoting an event with Father Don Calloway, Tim Staples, and I'll be there at this Divine Mercy Conference. So I want to let Caesar come on and give us a little plug for that. Caesar, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show, brother.
Thank you, Terry, for having me on. This is Caesar.
Yeah.
I actually wasn't calling because of Divine Mercy, but yeah, Divine Mercy Conference will be
here. You're involved with that, am I right? You're doing the recording?
Yes.
Yeah. Good.
Yes. We're working with Barbara out here at Holy Martyrs, the other ordinary.
Awesome.
But I actually had, I wanted to share this story. Hopefully it inspires other men out there.
Sure.
When I had first called you, you guys didn't really know me, either you or Jesse, but I had called because you inspired me on this pro-life talk that this was around June, I'd say about 2015, 2016, before you and I actually formally met previous to that. Long story short, I was living in the world and got pressured by a non-denominational Christian to get a vasectomy about 10 years ago at the time, and I wanted to reverse it. And I remember you guys kind of telling me, hey, if you go confess it, you're fine, but you know, if you can afford it, go ahead and do it.
Yep.
Well, I was able to, by the grace of God, I was able to find a gentleman who pointed me in the right direction. I wanted to take care of it. The Holy Spirit spoke to me, and this is not a knock on Novus Ordo, but I will say that the Holy Spirit saw the big families within the ordinariate.
Uh-huh.
Say, wow, these traditional families are beautiful.
Yeah.
And I see them so happy.
Sure.
So I just broke down that day and I said, I'm going to take care of this, you know, which one way or another. And,
sure.
And I flew 2 years ago to have it done in Texas.
Yep.
And by the grace of God, we found out we're 6 weeks last week.
Congratulations. That's great news. Yeah. That's
so I wanted to call you and thank you.
Well, thank you. I thank Jesus. Any good we do comes from God. We thank him for it, brother. And I do send people to Texas. What I'd like you to do is give me that contact information again. We always have people asking about how do we reverse that vasectomy. And that's the one I always refer is in Texas. So you're a good man, Caesar. When is that event taking place that you're going to be involved with on Divine Mercy? And I know it's going to be at Lake Elsinore.
Yeah, June 19th.
Okay. And Father Don Calloway, right?
The location would be correct. Yeah, Father Don Calloway I believe it'll be at a high school in, if I'm not mistaken, it's Marietta, possibly Lake Elsinore.
Yeah, actually, they changed it now. It's going to be at Lake Elsinore, is what Barb told me. So people can look it up on the internet. But Father Don Calloway is always a hoot to be with. He's a good man. But I want to.
Great guy. He's got a great story.
Oh, he certainly does. And I just want to thank you again for all you do. Now you're on fire. And just for the benefit of those who know, what's the Anglican Ordinariate? This is converts from the Church of England that came in 2008. And they have a very reverent liturgy. We have it here at our Sacred Heart Chapel every Sunday. And people could come to it. We kneel for Holy Communion. Communion on the tongue only because of their tradition. It's really, really like a Trinitine Mass, but it's in English. And the power preaching there from we get is just really good. So that's what happens when you have a good liturgy. So thank you so much. And Caesar, I'll see you next month. Thanks.
Sounds great. Feel free to share my number, contact information with any man that calls in or one.
You got it, partner. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay, Steve Ray, quick question. Father Altman, James Altman, I know you wrote a letter because you're big on writing letters to the bishop. Just for those who don't know who Father Altman is, you can check us out on Monday. Last Monday, we did a whole hour with him. Basically, Father Altman is a priest who basically was being told by his bishop that he's no longer going to be the pastor there and his services aren't needed because he's being divisive. And I would say that he's being divisive, from what I can tell, he's just telling people the truth about the Catholic faith, especially when it comes to the pro-life message. But Steve, tell us your take on Father Altman, because I know some people think he's a little over the top because he's so rough about, you know, how he speaks about his faith. Tell me your take.
Father Altman, yeah. I like him very much. I have promoted his homilies on my website a lot, and I also did an interview with him for an hour. And if you go to my website and just type in Altman in the search box, you can listen also to the video, YouTube video that we did together, where we are both pretty outspoken. He was a lawyer before he became a priest. He does not mince any words. I think that he is teaching the truth the way it needs to be taught. Mm-hmm. And he is serving the people even when things were not supposed to be done. He still served them the Eucharist and confession because he said, I'm a pastor.
Yep.
And that's what pastors do. He got in trouble before the election when he said that a Catholic cannot be a Democrat.
Right.
Because of the Democrats' stand platform on abortion and a lot of other issues, namely abortion.
Yeah, the platform.
And how can you be a Democrat who promotes that kind of a view and still call yourself a Catholic? And when he said that you cannot be a Catholic and a Democrat, then his bishop got the bishop's name is Bishop Callahan from La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Right.
I wrote the bishop a letter yesterday and I told him there's millions of us watching you. And we expect you to do the right thing because this priest, the reason he wanting to get rid of him now is he said he's an ineffective priest. Yeah. But I say that he's pretty effective because he's raised more money in his diocese, in his parish than any others have. And he is doing a great job, I think, and he's teaching the truth. Now, what about his style? Yeah, he's a little bit what some people would call over the top. He speaks the truth as it is. He may come across to some people as being cocky and arrogant and outspoken, saying things that don't need to be said. However, I happen to tend to like that kind of attitude. I like it when Catholics speak their mind and they quit being mamby-pambies and they say what needs to be said. Yep. For heaven's sakes, you know, it's like everybody gets priests get up on Sunday morning and they're afraid of what their people are going to say. They know that half the people out there are probably Biden voters and they want to be happy, clappy Jesus homilies, you know, so that nobody gets upset. But when Jesus taught and when the apostles taught, people did get upset. And that's okay because we need to remind people of their sin. Recently, all we've heard about is mercy, 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 year of mercy, mercy. Yes, but there is no mercy without first having repentance and acknowledgement of sin. Mercy comes as a result of repentance, acknowledgement of sin, and confession. Then there is abundant mercy. But if we just go around talking about mercy and don't get political and don't talk about issues that get people upset, then we are not doing our job. And Pastor Altman says, I'm doing my job because I'm teaching people the truth about life and abortion and politics the way Jesus would do it if he was here. And don't forget, Jesus called the Pharisees whitewashed tombs and serpents. So would they ask a question, was Jesus nice?
Was he divisive?
Jesus a nice guy?
Was he divisive?
No, Jesus wasn't nice.
Yeah.
Jesus was honest. Exactly. Jesus was truthful. And the Pharisees hated his guts. And they would have loved to have kicked him out of the ministry too, because he was speaking the truth. Well, we got bishops now that want to be nice.
Yeah.
And they want to be loved. And they're not willing to speak the truth. And if one of their shepherds does, they want to cut him off at the kneecaps instead of compliment him, which they should.
Well, let me give you a quote, direct quote, what he said. See, which I love this. I don't find it rough. He said, the problem in the world today, this is Father Altman, the problem in the world today, as it was in Noah's day, is that there are way too many people who don't know the first thing about Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He said at the time, so truth be told, they do not love him. And so we can see in the many godless politicians out there, they most definitely are not serving him. They are not fulfilling their purpose in life to know and to love and serve God. Now, that's a very direct statement. Steve, I got no problem. You know what he's doing? He's giving people the meaning and purpose of life and saying, you know what? This is the facts. You don't like it? I'm sorry. Go talk to God, because that's what God expects out of us. That's my take.
Now, the bishops of the United States are now deciding whether they should speak out against politicians who support abortion,
yep,
pro-abort politicians like Biden and
right,
Pelosi and a bunch of others. They are trying to get together a discussion whether those kind of people should be allowed to take Holy Communion, which they should not. But other guys, bishops, are trying to stop that effort,
yep,
from happening. Guys like Supich and
yep,
McElroy and Tobin, name yep them. That's
what I will name them.
Are.
There's 60 people.
And these guys and 60 others.
Yep.
You know, there's a saying that the only thing worse than a wolf in sheep's clothing is a pastor in sheep's clothing. The only thing
yep
worse than a sheep in wolf's clothing is a wolf in bishop's clothing.
Yeah, that's funny. When we come back, we'll talk more about Archbishop Gomez. He still has it on the list for the June meeting, and we'll talk more with Steve Ray here on the Terry and Jesse Show. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Steve Ray's with us. I want to set the stage here. We're talking about the Bishops' Conference that's coming up in June, right around the corner. And on the agenda, there's a question regarding, should we be giving Holy Communion to pro-abortion politicians like President Biden? And some of the bishops, like 60 of them, sent a letter to Archbishop Gomez in Los Angeles saying, take it off the agenda. We don't want to talk about this. Well, first of all, I want to set the stage, Steve, and then you tell me. We have two things going. Right now, in America, as of April, the Pew Research Center points out that 55% of U.S. adults that identify as Catholic say abortion should be legal in all or most cases, and only 43% say that it shouldn't be legal in most cases. Well, that's a problem, where the flock's not getting well fed by its teaching. Now, I'm going to make a comment. If I was speaking to the Bishops' Conference, which they wouldn't want to hear from a layman like me, but what I would quote to them is a saint. And Saint Pope Felix III said back in 475, not to oppose error is to approve it, and not to defend truth is to suppress it. And indeed, to neglect to confound evil men when we can do it is no less a sin than to encourage them. Now, that quote I use for decades, okay? It's because it motivates me to speak up for the truth. And my comment to our bishops, and maybe this will go viral, I have no idea. My message to the bishops is, act like Saint Pope Felix III and to oppose error, which is giving Holy Communion to people who are for abortion is a sacrilege. It's evil. It's bad for their soul, and it's bad for the bishop's soul to allow it. Now, Steve, I really told you what's on my mind. Go ahead and tell me what your thoughts are about this issue about Holy Communion for politicians who are definitely for killing unborn babies.
Well, I think too many of our bishops have become more politicians than they are pastors. They're more concerned about how people are going to react, how the other bishops are going to react, how people are going to respond, if the money's going to get cut off. And am I surprised that most Catholics promote abortion and take the stand, and those bishops know that their flocks are divided, therefore they're trying to play both ends against the middle. They're trying not to take strong stands on things, because if they do, they're going to get hit from one side or the other. I'm not surprised that Catholics don't fight against abortion, Terry, to be honest mm-hmm. with you, because where do the Catholics today, the average Catholic family, where do they get their education?
Secular.
They're not getting it from the church. They may or may not go to Mass once a week. And if they go once a week, that's all they know. And what do they hear in the homily but happy, clappy Jesus talk? There's nothing about politics but nothing about the truth and standing for the age-old tradition and moral teaching of the church. Those are too controversial to discuss. The average Catholic learns what they know from the media, from movies, from their friends at work, from the daily life that they go in. Right. When we're out in the world, we get contaminated.
Yep.
And we should spend time learning and taking a bath, so to speak.
Yeah.
But what happens today is most Catholics are out in the world being influenced by folks at work, by the politicians, by television, by movies, and the news media. They're not being educated by the church or by the traditions.
Right.
If a Catholic would turn all that stuff off and start reading some of the fathers of the church and read the good papal writings and so on, we would have an educated populace in the church. But that's not where they're getting their education. No, I'm not surprised at all at the dismal numbers.
To me,
it's predictable.
Yeah.
And plus, we have pastors and teachers who are promoting sometimes the other side. So why would I be surprised that Catholics don't believe the truth? They're not being taught the truth.
So my question to you, Steve Ray, is this, that we need to be praying for our bishops, obviously, but you can say that's a cop-out if that's all you're going to do is pray. I want action items. We're at the end of the show right now. Letter writing, funding. What's your suggestion?
Well, let me read a paragraph from the Catechism first.
Perfect.
For
paragraph,
people
one
who
paragraph.
Think they don't.
Yeah.
Because we as Catholics tend to think we aren't supposed to argue with our authorities.
No.
The Pope is the Pope and he's infallible, so you can't criticize him. Well, this is very wrong. I would read from the Catechism.
Paragraph
and it says
what?
That we the lay people
state the number
907.
907, got it.
907. We the lay people have the right and even at times a duty to manifest to our pastors our opinions on matter which pertains to the good of the church. They have a right to make their opinion known to other Christian faithful with due regard for integrity and reverence and so on, but we have the rights and the duties to inform them, which means that if we do not inform them, that we're negligent. Because if there's a coin, it has two sides. If we have the right and the duty to correct them, with deference and love, of course. The other side is that we are negligent and guilty if we don't, when we see them doing things wrong and we don't protest or write or call or get involved.
Yeah.
It's our obligation to do that, Terry. What you're saying we should be doing, not only should we, but we have this irresponsible idea that we never should correct a pastor, that priests and bishops are always correct. They're not.
Nope.
And they need to be corrected. I think it wasn't at Fulton Sheen who said, don't look to the priests and the bishops
1974.
To correct the church.
Yep.
You lay people have to do it.
He did.
Oftentimes through history, it's the sheep that get the shepherd straightened out.
I'll give you an example of what Bishop Sheen motivated me back in the 80s when I recorded a bishop who's now gone to his eternal reward. Unfortunately, he died of AIDS, so he was, quite progressive. But he tried to point out that we were going to have women's ordination and contraception be approved by the year 2000. I happened to record it, and I sent it to Rome through Father Fessio, and Cardinal Ratzinger got a hold of it, and that bishop in California had to recant on everything he said to us young people back in the 80s. And you see, if I didn't record, transcribe it, take the effort to go to Rome through Cardinal Ratzinger, then that bishop would have never been corrected. But we need, I'm not saying, hey, I did a great, I'm just saying, I felt morally obligated. I had to go the distance. And we need more people to stand up and say, excuse me, Father, I don't want your personal opinion. Would you please just give what Holy Mother taught and the catechism and the perennial teachings of the church? The more we do that, the more we hold them accountable, I believe they will be accountable more, because it's when good people do nothing, evil abounds.
In my book, The Papacy, which I published by Ignatius a year or so ago, there's a quote from Thomas Aquinas. If the faith was endangered, a subject ought to rebuke his prelate, that means pastor, pope, or bishop, even publicly. Just like Paul, who was Peter's subject, rebuked him in public in Galatians chapter 2:11 on an imminent danger or scandal concerning the faith. Saint Augustine wrote, Peter gave an example to superiors that even if at any time they should happen to stray from the straight path, they should not disregard the reproof of their subjects.
Awesome.
Augustine and Aquinas agree that there are times where it is our duty, and even our right and our duty, to rebuke a prelate, even in public, if necessary. And I think it's getting to the point where these bishops are getting way too much money from the federal government.
Amen.
They are now kowtowing, I think, on the basis of the money they get from the federal government. And they have ceased to be pastors and have become more politicians than anything else. Now, I know there's a bunch of good ones. You have some on your show.
Yeah, and you've met, and
I happened to talk to one this weekend.
That's right.
Bishop Olmsted from Phoenix, Arizona, who was a wonderful man, just wrote a document about this whole
issue.
Right. Archbishop Aquila,
another great guy,
and Shapu.
Yep.
And there's so many, Strickland, all these, there's Paraki.
Yeah.
Paparaki. There's a bunch of bishops that are speaking out and doing good, but they're outnumbered by the loud voices of the liberals like Supich and McElroy and Tobin and others.
Yeah, there are. And Steve, I will say this, that your work that you've been doing with CatholicConvert.com, I'm just shifting gears. We only have a couple minutes left. I want to encourage people to go to your website, CatholicConvert.com, because there's a lot of good catechetical material there. You have articles there. Yeah. What about getting some of your books, the book you just talked about on the papacy that Ignatius published? They can get that book from your website also, can't they?
All the books are available from my website, and if you buy them there, they cost more money than if you buy them on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And they might not get to you the next day, but at least you're not supporting Amazon, who's become our enemy recently, along with all the big tech guys.
Yep.
And if you buy from us, you help our family, and they're all signed copies.
And that's why
I've got five books out now, and soon I'll have my sixth one, the Commentary on Genesis.
And that's the reason why I report people to send them to your website, not just because you're terrific, but I like family businesses, too. I think all little bookstores that you have in your neighborhood, Catholic bookstores, please go there and buy them. Buy literature from them to keep them in business, because I know how hard that is to keep it going, and they're providing a great service to the community. Steve Ray, CatholicConvert.com, thank you so much for joining us here. And again, Steve, for those who are going to be going on pilgrimages, again, how can they do that again? One more last little plug.
Go to CatholicConvert.com. I have all the pilgrimages up there. You can see the brochures, interactive maps. And if you don't have the money or the time, go to my past pilgrimage page, and you can join us virtually on the last 100 pilgrimages I've done. All of them have two-hour movies. You can watch the movie of the pilgrimages. But CatholicConvert.com, and we are back in the air again.
So I love it.
That people can join us. And also, Terry, I'm getting asked to go speaking at parishes.
Yeah, how can they do that? Yeah, how do they contact
you? The invitations are pouring in. So if you want me to come to your place, go to my website also. I'll be happy to come out and speak at parishes, men's conferences, or whatever.
All right. Well, Steve Ray, Catholic convert, thanks for joining us here on the Terry and Jesse Show. Up next is the Bible with the Barbers. I'm going to go into Studio A with my wife, and I'll just pay attention to her. But we're going to be learning about the gospel of today and much more on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And again, if you want to get more of Father Altman's update, go to LifeSite News. There's nearly $200,000 raised for his defense. He's going to have a canon lawyer defend him in his position of being there as the pastor, and there's a canonical process that has to take place. Could take up to a year, year and a half. So keep Father Altman in your prayers. He's a good man. I'm meeting with several other priests that are in similar situations like Father Altman. But I want to say this. We need to support our priests who are speaking the truth with charity and clarity with our prayers and our financial support. So he's got my backing. Steve Ray, CatholicConvert.com. Keep up the good work, my brother.
Thank you, and same to you, Terry.
If you can answer this question, brother, what state should we be living in?
Not the state of Michigan. No, I'm just kidding. We should be living in the state of grace,
you
as
got
you
it.
Say.
Yeah, we
and
do.
If you're not in the state of grace, get to the state of confession.
Exactly. That's what I always say. Our Lady said it, you know, in a Fatima, souls are going to hell because no one's there to pray and make sacrifices. Be holy or die trying here on the Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Up next, I see my wife in the other studio. Bible with the Barbers, please join us by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Get our free app. You can hear all the shows anytime, anywhere in the entire world. May God richly bless you. And as I say, full sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God bless you.